like to invite you to our text this morning. That'll be 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 reads this way. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We ask, Lord, for your power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, if there's one here that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you give them that Holy Spirit conviction that will bring them to the truth. And then, Lord, for those of us who are your children, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive the grace that you've given to us in a greater way and the truths that you have for us to grow in. And we'll be careful again to praise you. May you be honored and glorified, highly exalted, Lord, in our hearts and minds, and glorified this day by our praise. And we'll give you all the thanks, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title of the message this morning is, "This Then is the Message." This then is the message. And so we're going to look at four thoughts this morning. I've not done this, not planning on doing this, but I'm not going to rush this message. This might be a two-parter. It will be online if you can't make it this evening, but we do want to cover this information. I do believe it's what the Lord has for us to understand. And so the four thoughts this morning is a declared fellowship with God that brings joy. A declared fellowship with God, which is really a restoration through salvation that we have with the Lord, that brings joy, not just in salvation, but every day in our lives. And then secondly, the will of God concerning our salvation. The will of God concerning our salvation. And then thirdly, the Word of God in us. That's important. The Word of God in us. And then fourthly, the love of God perfected in us, the love of God perfected in us. And so as we get started by way of introduction, I do want you to hold your place here and then turn back with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. I do want you to see something here that I think is critically important to the foundation of these truths that we're going to look at here this morning. Romans chapter 1, and I want you to see what verse 16 says. There's going to be three scriptures that we're going to go to here this morning. And so Romans 1:16 says this, ready? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? It is the power of God unto what? Salvation." Listen, "to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the power of God is what brings salvation. Amen? All right, go to chapter 15 here in the book of Romans, Romans 15. And look at verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13 says this. "Now the God of hope fill you with all" what? "Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through" the what? "Power of the Holy Ghost." So we have the power of God unto salvation in chapter 1. Now we have the power of God through the Holy Ghost that gives us hope and it fills us with the joy of the Lord. So as we move along here, I want you to go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, which is going to be the next book to your right there. And I want you to go to chapter 4 just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19 reads this way, "But I will come short to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know," listen to this, "not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the" what?
"Power."
And it's not our power, it's the power of God. Because the power of God is what glorifies Him in your life and mine as a child of God. So the power of God is very important in our relationship to the Lord. So I'd like to invite you back over to 1 John. This is where we're going to spend our time here in the text. Now I want you to back up with me in verse 3 here of chapter 1. And I want you to see a declared fellowship with God that brings joy. So first of all, he says in verse 3, he talks about this fellowship that John had and the apostles had with the Lord that you and I can have with also, okay? The only difference in our salvation than the apostles is that we are not the ones that were set to write the word of God and to perform the miracles, but we are to have the same relationship with the Lord that brings joy, that brings His grace, that brings His love and the power of the Holy Spirit to bear fruit into our lives. So look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What they have seen and what they have heard, they want us to know as well. That ye also may have fellowship with us. Did you get that? That you also may have the very same relationship that we have with our Savior. And by the way, not in the past, but in the present and in the continual tense. That we might always have the same kind of fellowship with them. And truly, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. This relationship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is something that God has given to you and I already if you're a saved child of God. Now listen, it is possible that we might not be tapping into that and not experiencing the joy of the Lord. I want to give you something here that's important, okay? And this is important. The joy of the Lord, is that just to come to you when everything's going the way you think it should go? We have ideas of how we think life ought to be. Unfortunately, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And God is working how many things for our good? All things. And so the trials, really, if we'll understand what God is doing is he is trying to kill the flesh that would interfere in our relationship with him. So this is the truth. Now listen, and God is not asking us to fabricate or produce this fruit. God is wanting us to know that he will do it. But the joy of the Lord, when Paul was in prison, did he have the joy of the Lord? He did. And he was writing prison epistles to other churches to encourage them in the joy of the Lord. And so he had, listen, I would dare say that one day in the prison, and by the way, I visited some of the prisons, or at least one of them that he was in. It's still standing, okay, because it was underground and it's still there. And it was very musty, very damp, no air. And I dare say that the accommodations were probably just as bad as they were in the day I saw it than when the day Paul was in that very prison. Amen? And he was right. I would dare say that one of those days that Paul had, I would say would be at least equal to, at least, than one of our bad days. He could have just stopped his bad day and gone through the Wendy's drive-thru and ordered something that might cheer him up, right? He didn't do that. He was stuck. And by the way, listen, he had the joy of the Lord. And so we misunderstand the joy of God. If we don't know that it comes, it can still our hearts and it can cause us to reflect. Now, I'm going to tell you it's an impossibility to do in our flesh. But it is the grace of God that will bring the joy of the Lord. If we I'm having a bad day, but wait a minute, I am a child of the King who's been blessed with his promises. And so this is the faith part now. I'm either going to choose to walk in the discomfort or whatever it is that's troubling me in that day, or I'm going to be reminded and say, wait a minute, God is not going to give me his joy, he already has. And so by faith or trust, I'm going to trust God that he's already given. See, because anything outside of the word of God is outside of the truth of the word of God is a what? Let's try that again. Everything outside of the truth of the word of God is a what? It is a lie. And see how you knew it? I didn't prompt you. You knew it was a lie. Because there's only one truth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So, and by the way, all lies come from who? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, I didn't have to teach you that. The Holy Spirit said, it comes from Satan. It comes from the devil. So we have two choices when we're having a bad day. We're either going to believe the devil and trust him, the liar, then the father of lies, or we're going to ask God to open up our hearts and minds to believe and walk in the truth of God's word, because in your worst day, you are still a child of the King. Amen. With all of the promises of God, even his joy. And you know, as we turn our hearts away from the thing that's happening in our life that may be bringing discomfort, we're exercising faith to bring it over to the Lord and say, Lord, in this too, I can walk with you. In this too, you still hold me in your hand. In this too, you are still the great shepherd and the lover of my soul. In this too, you have promised to work out for my good. So I'm going to choose to believe in what God has said, because the devil will cause me to lose my testimony and not shine the light of God. What good is it, listen, if I say I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and my life is an emotional roller coaster like the world? Well, they look at us and they say, you've got nothing I want. But if you show me that all of a sudden the grace of God is there for you, even when your day's not going well, well, now you've got something that's going to catch the attention, and that is the Spirit of God flowing through you, producing the fruit of God that's going to touch the lives of other people. Now, I didn't make this up. You saw it in the Word of God here. He's talking about the fellowship that God wants us to have, the same fellowship that these apostles had even when they were in the worst of circumstances. So when somebody asks you what kind of day you're having, what kind of day are you having? Well, I'm a child of the King. What kind of day is that? Amen. I have eternal life. What kind of day is that? I've been given the promises of God. What kind of day is that? I dare say it's a good day. And Brother Jason said, you know, better than I deserve. Amen? Yeah. Isn't it? Haven't we all been given more than what we deserve in the Lord Jesus Christ? We didn't deserve any of it. And so the problem is what we're looking at, or what we're looking to, or what we're trusting in. And listen, you cannot get past what you're seeing with your physical eyes unless you've called upon the Lord and said, Lord, I need you today. Listen, I need the Lord every day. Because I am just one step away from looking at my problem and getting my eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. This faith that God has given to us was intended to produce fruit. This trust that God has given to us, he wants it to grow from faith to faith. Amen? Not just to just sit there in on our blessed assurance of eternal life and not go anywhere. He expected it to produce fruit, to be invested, that it might bring forth a return, not only to the glory of God, but in our lives. So listen, it's not too late, no matter where you're at in life, to say, you know what, bless God, I'm going to walk trusting God more. I'm going to get my eyes off of myself. Woe is me. Nobody knows, right? Listen, I'm going to get my eyes off of myself and put them on the Lord. Amen. And I guess what? I need the Lord's help in that. God, that my eyes might be on you. Because I know the moment the Lord asks me to walk out on the water by faith and trust him, the storms are going to kick up. And I'm going to easily put my eyes on the storm and take my eyes off of Christ and begin to sink. But praise God, he's there all the time, even if you do that, for you to cry out to the Lord, save me, Lord, and he'll pull you right back up. Amen? It's a win-win with the Lord. So he's declaring this fellowship that we have with the Father. Now look at verse 4 here. Look what he said. And these things write we unto you. Who are the writers? The apostles. These things, he's lumping in all the apostles. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Not half full? Full. Amen? I dare say overflowing as well. Second thought, the will of God concerning our salvation. Look at verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him. This is the message. He's telling us what the message is. And declare unto you, listen to this, that God is what? God is light. This is important. God is light. Not only that, and then he says this, and in him is how much darkness? no darkness, none. There's no darkness. Okay, now this isn't. Do you believe that this morning? The reason why you believe that is because the Holy Spirit is confirming this. Listen, please, let's demystify something here this morning, all right? The Holy Spirit does not make you a robot. You are not going to lose who you are and automatically just do the right thing. Oh, no, 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 that's not the way the Lord works. That's the way sorcery, that's the way demonic possession works. The way the devil works is not the way God works. You will choose you this day. Amen?
Amen.
Whom you will serve. He's not going to make you do it. He's waiting to bless as we do it, but he's not going to make us do it. And so as we consider this, realize that we have to be willingly able and wanting to follow the Lord. And he doesn't work this way either. Lord, tell me your will. Flip open the Bible. And whatever you read, that's the will of God. That's hocus pocus. That's hocus pocus. There may be truths in there, but I want you to know God is going to solidify as you pray and as you read his word. You will see it. He will guide you to the truth. It may not be the first thing, but he will say, yes, this is the message I want you to understand. Yes, this is the truth. And then trust the Lord to walk in that. Don't be sitting somewhere waiting for God to all of a sudden just empower your life beyond your control without you thinking that you're going to have to get up and do something. That's not the way the Lord works. And so you're going to have to get up, spiritually speaking, and pursue the Lord. But if you're sitting there, if you're not praying, and if you're not taking any time to pursue the Word of God, can you know the will of God? Will you know the will of God? Absolutely not. Why? No faith. No, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the? Oh my goodness, isn't that amazing? No word, no faith. No prayer, no, you're not going to hear anything. And so the Word of God and prayer are instrumental. Now, let's just not complicate it. Listen, if you're not praying at all on a daily basis, and that's possible for a believer, is it not? David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, a lot of theologians, and I tend to see it, it said that he had no real communication with the Lord for about a year till Nathan came up to him and told him a little story and said, "Thou art the man." I dare say he had no communication with the Lord because of the guilt that he had. All right, but here it is. Don't complicate matters. Talk to the Lord as long as you want to talk to him. This works, ready? Get up in the morning. Open up. I'll give you an easy recipe. Ready? And it's not, this is not subject to this alone. There are 31 Proverbs. Pick the one for the day. Today's the 19th. Pick Proverbs 19. Let's make it even easier. You don't even have to read the whole chapter. Just read the first verse. And ready? In the morning. Get up 5 minutes earlier. Read whatever you want of the proverb for the day and say this, "Lord, today I need you." That's it. "Today I need you." You want to take it a little further? Take it wherever you want it to go. "Lord, I need you, and if I don't seek you, I know I will never walk in your spirit. I'll walk in the flesh." Is it possible for a child of God to walk in the flesh and miss him? Absolutely. Is that what you want your lot to be? It's your choice. I can't make you do it. God won't make you do it, but he will love for you to do it, and he will bless you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He'll answer. He'll impress you. Here's what will happen, because it's foreign to our name. "Was that the Lord? I think that was the Lord." You'll do it again, and you'll start to recognize the voice of God in your heart and mind. You'll start hearing from him as you open up that proverb. You'll be amazed at what he'll do when you exercise a little bit of trust in his word for you. For you. So he wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with me as an individual. He wants us to have that, because that's the only way you're going to have more trust and more confidence in the faith that he's given to you and that, where it's going to grow. He has to speak to you. But you have to approach him in that. And that's the way that it works. All right. So this is the will of God concerning our salvation. Again, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." All right? Now, this is talking about really no fellowship or being out of fellowship with the Lord. And we're not doing the truth. Now, listen, I want you to know something. I said, God's not going to work outside of you getting up and seeking the Lord. He's not going to do that. But then, listen, I want you to know He will guide you into the truth and He will give you the peace as you seek Him and show you some things. And He wants to do that. But listen, the worst thing that you and I can do is, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. There's a lot of truth in that, but that's not where it stops. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be holy, not by our power, and not because we love Jesus, because holy is He who indwells every believer, and that's the Holy Spirit, that will guide us into doing that. So this is what's important. If we want to experience the grace of God in a life-changing, awing way that brings worship and brings His light through your life. Listen, God's plan to save you was that He might shine His light into your world. The influence of your world. If you've got it wrong, if you think the pastor's the only one that God wanted to bless with the grace of His God, with the grace of salvation, with the joy of salvation, you've got it wrong. You've missed it if you think that's just for the Sunday school, the deacon, and whoever else you want to throw in there. God meant that for all of His people. Because your world, the realm in which you live, amongst your family and your friends, and where you do business, God wants to influence by His grace. And not putting it on. Not you putting it on and not you fabricating it because, oh, I'm supposed to be a Christian. You're going to start judging everybody. I promise you. You're going to start looking down at people because if you're doing it in your power, you're going to start thinking what they should be doing and that you're something. When the truth is we are nothing without Jesus. We can do nothing without Jesus. And what we'll do is if everything is right, we'll be going, praise God. I am now succeeding where I was failing. Praise the Lord. He is now performing that which He promised. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to trust Jesus more. You're going to trust God more. So He says, don't settle for this idea to say that you have fellowship with God. You can be a saved child of God and have no fellowship with God because you're walking in darkness and you've given into it. You've quit. You've quit trusting that God can deliver you from it. And that's what it will do. And Satan loves it because you have no power in you don't have the power of God. You may have the power of your religion, but you don't have the power of God. You might have the power of your testimony, which is nothing without Jesus. It's not. Now, it saves you. It gave you eternal life when God saved you. And by the way, when He saved you, did He not do it by His Holy Spirit? You didn't save yourself. If you did, you're missing something. The main thing, right? Jesus. All right. So, no fellowship. Look at verse 7. Listen. But if we walk... Did you say that if? Verse 6 says if, right? And then verse 7 says, but if... This is a choice. That's what the word if means, right? That's what the word if means. If you choose. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. And what He's talking about... He's talking about the fellowship of God, as well as the fellowship of other believers that God intends all to fellowship with Him. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Jesus Christ forgave me of my sin, but that's it, man. Now I'm just a mess. Yeah, we know that. We all are. But God says He's going to cleanse me from all sin, the sin that besets me. He's going to cleanse me from that. Listen, that's the truth. But you've got to be willing to believe Him in that and call on Him and ask Him to perform that. Because God wants us to be a holy people, not a failing people, but a holy people. And by the way, listen, please, don't rededicate your life or dedicate your life to living right. You can't do that unless you call on the Lord. His righteousness comes for the asking, not by your performance or mine. You'll never get it. He'll not give it to you. Because the moment you say, this is what I'm going to do for Jesus, and you do it, you've got nobody to thank but yourself. Look at me. Yep, that's right. Because it's not going to glorify Him. But if you know, you listen, pick the thing that defeats you in your life. You know what it is. Pick the thing that defeats you and ask God to deliver you from it. Because I'm sure you've tried time and time again to deliver yourself from it, and you've not delivered. Any wonder? You've not delivered yourself. You never will deliver yourself until you ask God to do it. And then when He does it, you will thank Him for it. And that's the way He works. And the problem, listen, I know if you're saved, you love the Lord. That's not a question. But He will not bless your effort or mine. He will bless the indwelling Holy Spirit to empower our lives. Let me say that again. God will bless, because what we're saying is, God, I need You to bear the fruit that indwells me with Your Holy Spirit. Now He's going to get the glory for it. You could try until you're blue in the face. You're never going to do it. I've tried. If you want to know, I've tried. But since I've turned it over to the Lord, now, by the way, I'm not perfect, and nobody is, but that doesn't mean that we are habitually walking in sin. That's the truth, if we get nothing else out of that. Verse 7, listen. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, who's in the light? God. Who is the light? Oh, it's not your light. It's not my light. It's whose light? How can we walk in God's light? By our power? No, He's got to bring us into the light, as He did in salvation. He brings us there. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, guess what? We have fellowship one with another. Why? Because God brought us there. Now, listen. Is it possible for a child of God who's been born again by the light of God to not be in the light of God? Yes, that's what it's saying right here. So how are you to walk in the light of God? Not by your effort, but by God's grace. If you ask Him, He'll bring you into that light. I'm telling you, the church has forgotten this, and that's why they are overcome with sin, and they're a disgrace to the glory of God, because they misunderstand how to get there, and they're missing the grace of God. Listen, naturally, here's what we think. Ready? Here's what we think. Well, shame on those believers. That's not what Jesus is saying. You know what Jesus is saying? Oh. You are missing out on My love. Oh. You are missing out on My victory. Oh. You are missing out on My grace. Naturally thinking, yes, that's right. People ought to, but no, we can't do it. God's got to bring us there. It's for the asking to the believer. You're a joint heir. That's your inheritance. I'm this side of eternity. Stop getting this lie of the devil. Well, I just got to wait till I see Jesus. Who said that? Show me in the Bible. Who said that? I'll tell you who said it. The father of lies. The father of lies. Because the Bible is saying in verse 7, listen to what the Word of God. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's where God wants us. That's where the Lord wants us. So we looked at a declared fellowship with God that brings joy. And we looked at the will of God concerning our Savior. Listen, God is wanting to do a work in your life and mine. I'll tell you what's holding us back. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. Our heart and our understanding, or our misunderstanding of the Word of God and what we've been given. So tonight, Lord willing, we will look at the Word of God in us, and we will look at the love of God perfected in us. And listen, these are life-changing truths from the Word of God, that God wants us to know, that we might be the light of God by His power and grace. Would you stand, please? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne, thanking You, Lord, for the truth and the wisdom that You reveal. Lord, I pray that You would guide us in our hearts and minds. Lord, all of Your children, to hear from You today, and to say, yes, God, I want to call on you that you might show me what you want to do in my life and how you will do it. And Lord, if I'll call on you, that you have promised to answer and to show us, Lord, great and mighty things that we don't even know. Bless the invitation, Lord. Bless your people. Speak to our hearts. Create in our hearts a hunger and a desire to thirst for you and your righteousness. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.